Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Yashodanandana Brajjanaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radhe Jayo Radha Gopinatha Radha Gopinatha Radhe Jayo Gauranitai 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 Jayo Gauranitai Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. जय प्रभुपदा 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 जय प्रभुपदा प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद हरि राम संकीर्तन की जय गौर भक्तवृंद की गौर प्रेमानंद All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्ट प्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंद गोप कुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः
हरे कृष्णा रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 29 एंड टाइटल भक्ति योगा वर्स नंबर 21 यो यो मयि परे धर्मा कल्प्यते निष्फलाय चेत् तद् आयासो निरर्थस्य भय आदिर इव सत्तमा यो यो मयि परे धर्मा कल्प्यते निष्फलाय चेत् तद् आयासु निरर्थस्य भय आदिर इव सत्तमा यो यो मयि परे धर्मा कल्पयते निष्फलाय चेत् तद् आयासु निरर्थस्य भय आदिर इव सत्तमा यो यो मयि परे धर्मः कल्पयते निष्फलाय चेत् तद् आयासु निरर्थः स्यात् भयादिरिव सत्तमा यो यो मयि परे धर्मः कल्पयते निष्फलाय चेत् तदायासु निरर्थः स्याद् भयादेरिव सत्तमः यो यो मयि परे धर्मः कल्पयते निष्फलाय चेत् तदायासु निरर्थः स्याद् भयादेरिव सत्तमः यो यो वाट् एवर् Mai, unto me. Pare, the supreme. Dharma, his religion. Kalpyate, tends nishphalaya, toward becoming free from the result of material work. Chet, if tat, of that. Ayasaha, the endeavor. Nirarthaha, futile. Syat, maybe. Bhay adehe, of fear and so on. Eva, as. Sattama, or best of saintly persons. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. O Uddhava, greatest of saints, in a dangerous situation an ordinary person cries, becomes fearful and laments. Although such useless emotions do not change the situation, but activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, amount to the actual process of religion. Purport. Even the most insignificant activity when offered to the Supreme Lord without personal desire can elevate one to the perfection of spiritual life. Actually, Lord Krishna always protects and maintains His devotee. But if a devotee cries to the Lord for protection or maintenance, desiring to continue his devotional service unimpeded, Lord Krishna accepts such apparently unnecessary appeals to be the highest religious process. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaur Tvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patita Nam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. O Uddhava, greatest of saints, in a dangerous situation an ordinary person cries, becomes fearful and laments. Although such useless emotions do not change the situation. But activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, amount to the actual process of religion. So I would begin with what Lord Krishna is suggesting here. But it's not useless, definitely, seeking all your blessings to overcome the fear of on actually, you know, giving a suitable, apt explanation for these conclusive verses of Uddhava Gita. So please bless me, I may aptly glorify these statements of Lord Krishna. Very interesting how these statements can be actually taken. Yesterday one devotee was just sharing a joke with me, and this makes a good point to start the class. It's quite relevant. So our teacher was, he asked the students that. So there are two statements. First statement read, and the man washed the utensils. The second statement read, the man was made to wash the utensils. So he asked the students, so what is the difference between these two statements? And one of the intelligent ones, you know, raised his hand and says, oh, it's so simple. In the first case, the subject is unmarried. And the second case, the subject is married. So the point was, the activity was same, but the status of the subject changes. Similarly, by going through these verses of Uddhava Gita, Krishna is addressing the activities. But these activities are in relation to the subject. So taking different subject for the same statements, you can derive unlimited meanings. So we'll just take this case of this verse here. And these are the conclusive statements. So this is the, these are like the last two, three. This is the second last verse actually, before the Uddhava Gita. The main section of Uddhava Gita ends. After this, the Lord is just going to summarize the whole thing. And there is going to be an interaction with Uddhava and a specific instruction to Uddhava, what he's supposed to do. So in one sense, this is just the second last verse. This is the climax, the epitome of what all the discussion is going on for so much time and for so many classes that we have been hearing. It's very interesting how the whole thing is moving about. And if we try to appreciate the dynamics, it becomes really, it really becomes captivating. So even in case of Gita, if you see, you know, Krishna, actually Shankaracharya states this verse, Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana. Right? Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdham Gitamrit Ammahat. So he's saying, Partha Vatsaha. Arjun is acting as a calf. You know, a cow only delivers milk when he feels this affection for the calf. Without that, the milkman cannot extract the milk. Right? So in this case, the affection of the Lord is definitely directed towards Uddhava. And it is this affection towards Uddhava that he uses as a vehicle to express his compassion to all the living entities. And how we can really appreciate this fact is, when at the end of this whole conversation, Shukdev Goswami appreciates the Lord as the bee. As the bee collects the essence of all the flowers in the form of nectar without disturbing the flowers. Similarly, Krishna here is giving the essence of all the instructions without disturbing the principles of Vedic application meant for other sections of society. So it is up to one's capacity and capability how he can withdraw this nectar. Now, Gaur Govind Maharaj gives this beautiful example. He says, just like for collecting, cow's milk, any pot will do. But when you want to collect lion's milk, you cannot do with an earthen pot. The pot will break because it's so strong and acidic. Similarly, according to what our heart, the extent to what our heart has been purified, we can assimilate these instructions of Lord Krishna to Uddhava. So according to whatever capacity and capability, we can actually relish what has been shared here. So definitely these instructions specifically are for Uddhava and through Uddhava to all the populace of this world. So first we'll take Uddhava as the subject for this verse and try to understand what Krishna is trying to tell here. So interesting words that, you know, choice of words that he has used. He's addressing Uddhava here as Saptama, or best among the sages. So one who has actually overcome, who has transcended this material modes. So for one who has transcended this material modes, what can these emotions, you know, these emotions have negative connotations in the material world. Fear, lamentation, crying, very apt to the situation currently prevailing. Everybody is fearful. So these are negative emotions. But in case of Uddhava, when he's addressing Uddhava, if you see just in the verses that are going to come forth, it's soon that Uddhava is going to show these emotions. And Krishna at this stage can perceive that these emotions are subtly starting to manifest in Uddhav's body. Fear, lamentation, and tears are just going to roll from his eyes. And why is that so? Because Uddhav has been overwhelmed by these emotions, understanding the imminent separation that he is going to feel from Krishna. So when Krishna is addressing Uddhava, he is saying, you have achieved perfection in executing your dharma. Because these emotions are the decorations on your body. Right? These emotions are the decorations in your body. You have achieved perfection. See, that's the difference, you know. If you see the initial verses where Uddhava is expressing his inability, taking a position of a common man, how can one execute this jnana? It's so difficult. You know, please say me something simple. So Krishna, in the verses 9, 10 and 11, actually starts speaking about bhakti yoga. But then from verses 12 to 19, he takes a, apparently he takes a digress. You know, he shifts his prominent audience. He shifts it to the jnana ashrita bhaktas, who have actually taken the shelter of jnana, not of Krishna. So the verses 12 to 19 very aptly apply to them. But they can very suitably apply to the pure devotees of the Lord also. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur and Jiva Goswami take the stand, while Sridhar Swami actually tries to explain them in terms of the jnanis. And both are equivalently correct. The point is, if you see the preceding sections, the initial verses, they say that the jnana yogi develops these negative emotions of frustration and depression. Because on his own endeavor, he's trying to achieve the goal. Right? So these are the negative emotions. And that is what is continuing in terms of the jnana yogi. But in terms of a devotee, these emotions, these qualities become his ornaments. You know, like we have this verse, you know, Guna Gana Dhama in Vibhavari Shesha. So where it says, where Krishna is compared to the reservoir of all qualities. So the devotee, when he takes shelter of Krishna, who is reservoir of all these qualities, by endeavoring in devotional service, these qualities are actually bestowed upon him. Just like, you know, if some soldier goes on fighting on behalf of the nation, and he endeavors to protect his nation, and he's victorious, right? So after he's victorious, or even if he's not personally, but he contributes to that, the state actually bestows the medals upon him. Yeah? So similarly, a practicing devotee, when he endeavors in devotional service, these qualities, this endeavor actually itself bestows these qualities upon him. Bhakti Devi and the Lord personally bestow these qualities upon him. That is why these qualities are fully manifest. Though these qualities may be perceived in the Jnana Yogi, they may be perceived in the Karma Yogi, but they are fully manifest to its complete glory in a Bhakti Yogi, because they are bestowed by Bhakti Devi herself, by the Lord herself, upon the devotee, just by making this endeavor. So apparently an endeavor is useless, and Vishwanath Sri Thakur gives a different commentary to this verse. So he says, very interesting, and we can just read the translation. And we can appreciate this point. He says, O Uddhava, greatest of saints, if bhakti is offered to me without personal motivation, endeavoring for results is useless. So he is making the endeavor for results as useless, not the endeavor itself. Just as expressions of fear or lamentation are useless in dangerous situations. Alright? So very interesting point. And we'll see this in relation to how it applies to the Premi Bhaktas, how it applies to the Vaidhi Bhaktas, and how it applies to persons who are non-devotees. The same very qualities that Krishna is actually highlighting. We just saw how it highlights to Uddhav, how it actually applies to Uddhav. You know, in Prabhupada Leela Amrit, we have this fascinating story, and Prabhupada is relating how it's the time of the world war. And it's a fearful situation. He says the planes were flying, you know, whenever the planes would fly, there would be a siren and there would be a blackout. And except that I was happily cooking kachoris for Krishna. No, it has no connection, you know. If you are in a fearful situation, And you're cooking kachoris for Krishna. It doesn't make sense. It seems they're so unconnected, so useless. How by cooking kachoris for Krishna you can overcome fear? It seems irrelevant actually in one sense. But the whole point that Prabhupada is trying to make here is how the devotee, you know, he's not looking out for the villain. He's not looking out for the villain in a situation. He is searching for his hero, that is Krishna. That is all his all absorption about is. For the materialist, they try to figure out, you know, where to put the blame. But for the devotee, any situation is an impetus. Right? Especially for the devotees who are absorbed, who are premi bhakts of Krishna. And we can see this, especially in Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela. So many examples. This is a common explanation that, exclamation actually, that the devotees make, you know. In so many stories that we come across, the Krishna Leela, the Gaur Leela, Ram Ram Mahabaho Krishna Dushta Nibarana Krishna Krishna Mahabhaga He Ramavitta Vikramaha. And so many more. Anytime the gopas are in difficulty, they are calling out for Ram. They are calling out for Krishna. Oh Ram, the reservoir of all power. Oh Krishna, who is the destroyer of all miscreants. You know. So these emotions are present in them also. Fear. But this fear becomes an impetus. Actually, to bring out the heroic activities, to bring out the heroic deeds of Krishna. So in this way, we can see, you know, when the gopas are actually walking the forest and they start talking with Krishna and says, you know, Krishna, you are such powerful. And we've just heard near this talwan there are so many sweet fruits, you know, that we would like to taste. But we cannot. Why? Because this talwan forest is full of asuras, specifically led by Dhenuka. And that's why we are fearful. But we know, you know, Krishna Dushni Barani, you are the destroyer of all the miscreants. So please, you know, if you think appropriate, let us go there. Because for the devotee, he is convinced, you know, this Krishna will do it. You know, in whatever way it may manifest, that's a different thing. It may manifest in different ways. But for the premi bhaktiyas, they are sure that Krishna is going to do it. So for them, it's this emotions of fear, of lamentation, are just an opportunity to bring out the heroic deeds of Krishna. The same we see in the pastimes of the wives of the brahmanas, where you know the gopas are calling out to Krishna that we are being disturbed by this enemy of hunger. So please do something about it. And then the whole pastime begins. Similarly in Govardhan, these are the exclamations you will see oft repeated. And the interesting pastimes, and we take this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Mahaprakash Leela. And we can really appreciate this fact, how they come about. When Mahaprabhu is actually performing his Mahaprakash Leela, he is calling on different devotees and, you know, glorifying them and showing his form in the way that they would desire to perceive. And then he calls out for Gangadas Pandit. He says, Gangadas, do you remember the time that you were fleeing from the Yavana king? You had become so fearful that they will misbehave with your family. And thinking so, you went with the Ganges looking for a boatman. And you were desperate looking for one. And you could see no one. And you became so despondent. You became so fearful in your heart. But then, you remembered me. And since you remembered me, I personally manifested there as the boatman. Ratri shesha hoila tumi nauka na paya kandita lagila ati dukhita hoya tabe tuma sange parihara kari para tabe nija vaikuntha gilama arbara. So personally I descended from Vaikuntha as the boatman to take you across the Ganges. Right? Now it is very surprising, and surprising for the materialist, you know. See, when you're in difficulty, as the verse reads, in difficult situations, whom do you call out for? You call out for someone who can help. And who can help you? Who's someone nearby? But you even can't even perceive Krishna. So for a materialist, what is he doing? Whom is he calling out? I can see no one, you know. For him, it's a useless endeavor because there's no one around who can save him. But for devotees, it makes so much more sense, right? When they repose this fear in Krishna, it makes us complete. It brings out such beautiful things out. In fact, you know, when this pandemic started and people were responding in such different ways, and there were many comments going back and forth, you know, with the whole nation, like getting together, clapping hands and beating whistles and lighting lamps together and all. And people like, you know, come on, you know, what is this? Is it really going to get us over the fearful situation that you are facing? Interestingly, you know, there were many articles written back and forth. And there is this Pierce, this the Princeton Engineering Applied Research Lab. It also works closely with you know, BI, and Pierce also has a collaboration because Pierce is mainly interested in research on consciousness. So they are into consciousness studies, and that's one of our area where BI, you know, actually focuses on study of consciousness. So and they're carrying out these studies on consciousness for about last 30 years. So they have these experiments designed, and they have been doing this for so many years now, that how the effective consciousness of the society can have an impact on physical reality. So when they conducted these studies, you know, when there was this 9/11 attack in US, and the death of prominent personalities like the death of Diana and all that stuff, and they had a lot of research done on this. So what they did was they actually sent random numerical numbers, 1 and 0. And, you know, they told people to actually select any of the numbers. So when this was done in a situation which was apparently normal, there's nothing normal in the material world, it's apparently normal, they found that the numbers came at random. There was no, you know, particular structure or sequence to it. But when people collectively directed their consciousness to a specific event, the numbers showed a specific choice, a specific sequence, and a specific structure. So for them, this was like how a collective consciousness, when focused on a specific thing, actually affects physical reality. So what to speak of when the individual consciousness or collective consciousness together focuses on the supreme consciousness, Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Definitely it has an impact on physical reality. And people may think, oh, this is all useless endeavor, you know, they are in their own world. It doesn't make sense to them. And this is what, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually, displaying his Mahaprakash Leela, many of the devotees, many of the non-devotees will not appreciate what is going on. You know, and he says, Gangai hote para chintale amare, mane pade parami karila tumare. He said, and Gangadas Pandit, you were overcome, you were consumed by anxiety. But because in that anxiety you remembered me, I was forced to descend. You know? So all these emotions apparently may have negative connotations. But as soon as they are dovetailed to Krishna, as soon as Krishna is the center of all these emotions, something wonderful comes out. And even for practicing sadhaka, one may not realize. And I'm going to mix both, you know, the Vaidhi and the Prema Bhaktas to highlight these points. You know, in a Vaidhi Bhakta or Bhakta who is Artharthi, who is not even taken to the process of Vaidhi Sadhana, even if he calls out, you know, I was just reading an article, very interesting article regarding book distribution, and it seems that, you know, devotees were distributing books, and when they opened the door, they had this person, and he says, oh, please, he was so happy to see the devotees, please come, please sit, you know, and when they were showing these books, he says, I'll buy everything, you know, give me the Bhagavatam, give me the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and everything. The devotee is like, my God. You know, we have never been greeted like that. You know, people are always skeptical. They always have questions, what it is. It's very rarely that someone will receive you. And so they asked, you know, oh, you're not really able to understand, you know, how you're able to appreciate Prabhupada's books. And then he narrated a story and he said, you know, I was, like one of the engineers on the ship. And it so happened that when he was traveling in the ship, one of the engines broke down. And he went into repair. So when he went to repair the engine, at that time, actually the cause of the engine failure was that the ship had hit a rock. And because of that, there was a slight hole in the ship, and water was coming in. At the same time, the impact had led to the engine failure. So then they applied motors to, you know, actually draw out the water that was coming in the ship and throw it out. And at the same time, the person was trying to repair the ship engine. And it so happened, just at that very moment. Now, just imagine what coincidence. You know, the ship had two engines. And engines are not small in a ship, you know. They're like rooms. They're huge rooms. So when this engine was not working, the other engine was. They had two engines. At the same moment, the second engine failed. And the motors that were actually, you know, pumping out the water from the ship also failed. What a strange coincidence. And this person was exasperated. He said, what am I supposed to do? You know, I just have a limited team of engineers. And what they can do, you know? He said, I was really despondent. And it was such a fearful situation. The only thing, you know, and he said, I just remembered. You know, I just remembered somehow, you know, I had met devotees and they were distributing books somewhere. I just took one of the small books. And he said that how one is supposed to take shelter of Krishna. He said, I just started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He said, you know, the engines were not working. But I took this liberty of making this daring step, you know, because people around will think, come on, man, already, you know, things are not working. And what are you doing? You know, shouting in the top of your lungs. This is not going to work. Do something about it. I was not sure, you know, how they're going to appreciate. But he said, as soon as I chanted this for a couple of times, within no time, all the engines and all the motors were back to normal. He says, I cannot explain that. But I knew, and I was for sure in my heart, you know, Krishna had personally made those things work. So yeah, for a Vaidhi, for a person who's artharthi, you know, who's actually undergoing distress, who's arthi, who's overcome by fear, by distress, even when he takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna does reciprocate in amazing ways. Of course, for a practicing sadhaka, it may manifest in different ways. And Bhakti Tirtha Swami, you know, gives this wonderful story. He says that I was driving through this you know, the communist bloc at that time. And it was always, you know, that Maharaj would, you know, travel with one of the translators because there are so many different languages spoken. But at this incident, it so happened, there was no translator available. So usually the translator who would come would also know driving. So then Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj and the translator, you know, would shift the driving seats, especially when it was a long journey. Said, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying, this time, well, you know, I didn't have a translator. So, which meant I didn't have even an alternate driver. And it was a long distance. And while driving, it so happened that he started, you know, like dozing off. And when he was dozing off, you know, there was this old lady who was, you know, on a bicycle. She just came in front. And Maharaj just, you know, slightly hit her and, you know, she fell off the bicycle. And in no time, the police came along and, you know, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was arrested and there he was in the prison. And Maharaj said, at that moment, you know, the only thing that was consuming my mind was fear. Well, what was the fear? The fear was not for the body per se, you know. But the fear was, you know, who will tell Prabhupada, you know, where I am and what I am doing for him? Will this message ever be communicated? That yes, you know, I did lose my life, but in actually in serving you. Now that was his concern, that was the fear. Said, is it that after so many years, because reports from him were very intermittent. He was working in a communist bloc and he could not, you know, continuously talk along. So it was in few months that he would send reports. And that was actually possessing in his mind, you know, will I be able to communicate to the devotee? He said, but I have to make some endeavor. So he did try, you know, he wrote to his GBC that this is the situation, I'm not able to come out, so please do, you know, help me out. And the GBC said, and the only reply that he got from his GBC was like, well, best of luck, depend upon Krishna. I was like, what? What do I do? So he did try many things, you know, tried to bribe somehow the jailer and get out, and, you know, took lawyers to fight his case, but nothing was working. But he said, finally, somehow I managed. I don't want to go into details of that. Let it be a suspense in any case. And, you know, Kadam Kannan Maharaj, you know, he narrates another wonderful story in this regard. And he says that, you know, we were going on Sankirtan, and we reached the Middle East countries. And they were traveling in the buses, and it was obviously a Sankirtan bus. And the police actually were surprised by this, you know, who are these people all along? And so they just captured them and took them to a stadium. And when they took them to the stadium, what Kadam Kannan Maharaj realized was, this arena is a shootout arena. You know, anyone who was found behaving contrary to the directives of this government, they were just brought in the stadium, no questions asked, no liberties of defending yourself. They were just put in a line and there, you're going to be shot out. I said, oh my God, you know, what mess I've gotten myself into. And he said, my only fear was, how do I save myself, you know, and I was trying to hide behind other people who were, by the way, were there just to meet the same fate. They were going to be shot, you know, and he was trying to, you know, hide behind them. So, you know, just trying to delay the prospect of being shot out. And I said, I was thinking, you know, what are you doing? Again, you're back to your bodily consciousness, trying to protect your body. Said, but of course, I was trying to endeavor in whatever possible way, and I was also thinking of Krishna. And amazingly, and honestly, I do not know what happened, because he never shared what happened. But he was saved in some way, and he was able to get out of that predicament. So yes, for devotees, for the Vedi Bhaktas, taking shelter of Krishna by these emotions of fear and limitation work out in different ways. But for the Premi Bhaktas, definitely, you know, they are an impetus for Krishna to perform his pastime. This is what he is actually even trying to, immediately after Ganga Das Pandit, the pastime of Ganga Das Pandit takes place, and he's in tears, he's rolling on the ground. Mahaprabhu looks at Haridas Thakur, you know. And when he looks at Haridas Thakur, this is what he starts saying.
Tohara marana nija ange karilaye, hei tara chinna ache, micha nahi kaye.
He says, Haridas Thakur, do you remember at the time when you were being beaten by the Yavanas? Though you were being beaten and harassed by the Yavanas, out of pain, you are not crying for yourself. But you are crying so that I be merciful upon them and bestow my mercy upon them. Now I was feeling the pain of you being tortured in such a way. I could not take it. So I personally manifested it with my Sudarshan Chakra with an intention of severing the heads of these Yavanas. But hearing your cry of compassion for them, even my Sudarshan Chakra failed. Even it could not act. Even it became powerless. And therefore, I was left with no resort but to personally cover your body with my own body. And then Mahaprabhu actually shows the marks of the whip that he faced in trying to save Haridas Thakur. And looking at those marks, Haridas Thakur is overcome by so much emotions.
Nirguna adhama sarva jati bhaskrita mui kek balibe prabhu tomara charita ei bala nahi mora smarana vihina smarana karila matra rakhi tumi dina.
And then Haridas Thakur actually says, my lord, I do not know what you say. Because so many devotees are glorious. And then one after one he starts narrating the glories of devotees who have remembered the Lord in fear and lamentation. But Haridas Thakur's point is very interesting. And he says, and Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur actually gives a very, very potent one-liner in this. And he says, in the external world, one perceives everything in terms of enjoyer and the enjoyed. So what is external vision? The vision of enjoyer and the enjoyed.
But in the internal world, one perceives only the object of service and the servants. So that is the difference between the external vision and the internal vision. So externally, all these emotions, when expressed by a devotee, you know, of crying, of lamenting, of being fearful, externally they seem all useless. But internally, they make so much more sense. And then he starts remembering, you know, the pastimes of Draupadi, of Prahlad Maharaj, and of Ambarish, of the Pandavas, of Ajamil. He says, all these people, though they were overcome by these emotions of fear and lamentation, their glory was that they directed all this to your remembrance. But I am not even capable of remembering you. So how come you are so merciful to me? You know, this is the humility that Haridas Thakur is expressing. You know, actually if you read the preceding verses, where they are directed primarily to the Gyan Yogis, you know, of seeing everyone with the equal vision, of being tolerant, of being humble, they are all the more completely manifested in the bodies of devotees because they take shelter. Look at the humility of Haridas Thakur. He's saying, you know, I'm not even able to remember you. It's definitely his humility. It's not that he's not remembering. He's saying, I'm not even capable of remembering you. Then how come you are being so merciful upon me? You know, Prahlad Maharaj, you know, for Hiranyakashipu, who was the ruler of all the worlds, you know, in one way he was the enjoyer of everything, right? But that was his external vision, you know. That's why he got into anxiety. You are the controller. I mean, Hiranyakashipu was the controller, but he was feeling the anxiety looking at Prahlad Maharaj's courage, you know. For devotees, what is courage? Courage is to know what not to fear. This is Plato's statement, you know. They are not fearful. They are not fearful. They know where to repose this courage. And so he became fearful looking at Prahlad Maharaj. You know, how can he, you know, resist all these atrocities that I am doing to him? How can he tolerate them? So the qualities of tolerance, of humility, they express in their fullest in the bodies of devotees. Why? Because they have taken shelter of Krishna. They have dovetailed their activities, they have dovetailed their emotions, which may apparently in the external vision seem useless. But they give completeness to it when they are directed towards Krishna. What to speak? And Vishwanath Chakri Thakur comments on this, and he says, what to speak of the Premi Bhaktas and what to speak of the Vaidhi Bhaktas? Even if the non-devotees, and he gives the example of Kansa and Shishupal, they directed their fear, they directed their hate towards me, and even they achieved liberation. Right? Even they achieved liberation. So this is the point that Haridas Thakur is actually trying to say. And then he starts glorifying the Lord in so many verses and, you know, expresses this quality of his humility.
Says tumara smarna hina papa janma mora safala karaha dasau chishta diya tora ei mora aparada hine chittale mahapada chahoye mohar yogya nahe.
And out of this humility, what Haridas Thakur is asking? Haridas Thakur is saying, I have no capability of remembering, you know. These devotees could have remembered you. Prahlad, Draupadi, the Pandavas, Ajamil, Ambarish, all these could have remembered you. I do not have quality. I have no qualification of remembering you. Therefore, O my Lord, I am begging, please, make my sinful life successful by allowing me to eat the remnants of your servant. And then as soon as he makes this this remark, he says, no, what have I asked? You know, this is such a high expectation that I'm keeping. I'm not even qualified for that. So he says, I think this is an offense on my part, for I have no qualification to ask for such an exalted position. What should I really be praying for?
Sachira nandana bapa kripa karo more, kukura kariya more, rakha bhakta ghare.
O son of Sachi, O dear Lord, please be merciful to me. Kindly keep me in the house of a devotee as a dog. So we can see how these expressions find their fullest manifestation and act as decorations for the devotees. And then Haridas Thakur, being filled with emotions, prema bhakti moye hoila prabhu Haridas puna puna kare kaku na paraye asa morastane mora sarva vaishnavarastane vina prade bhakti dila tore dane Haridas stuti vara shune yei jan avashya mile tare Krishna prema dhan. Anyone who hears the prayers of Haridas and the benediction he received will certainly obtain the treasure of Krishna prema. This is what actually Uddhava is displaying here. These emotions of fear and limitation, just subtly being manifest in his body, is actually nothing but the emotions out of love. The love of separation that he is feeling for Krishna. The imminent separation that is going to happen from Krishna. And then we can see in the sequence, of how actually the Lord highlights this emotion of lamentation, addressing to Advaita Acharya. Says Advaita Acharya, you remember once? You were lamenting that you were not able to understand the shloka of the Bhagavad Gita in terms of devotional service. And therefore you decided that I will fast. And it's not once. Haridas Thakur did this many times. If he was not able to understand the shloka in terms of devotion, he would just decide, okay, let's fast. And the Lord would then come in his dream. He would come in his dream and he would actually give the meaning of this verse. But then the Lord says actually reminds him, he says, Yat ratri sapna hoya ye dina ye kshane yat shloka sab prabhu kaila apane. So the Lord actually reminded Advaita Acharya of those dreams, days, moments and verses. But he said, it's not that it was a dream, Advaita. I personally came to give you enlightenment about those verses. But one verse I did not explain you, Advaita. And then he quotes this Sarvata Pani Padam Tat. And then he starts explaining this verse to Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya is overcome by these emotions. So this way of lamenting for the Lord actually produces the highest results. And sometimes even devotees cannot really, appreciate this fact. It's so very obvious when you're dancing in front of the deities, singing and being joyful. Anyone can see, you're so blissful. But Prabhupada says the easiest way to calm material anxiety is to take anxiety for Krishna. Because when he takes anxiety for Krishna, the devotee, for him the other external aspects do not exist. But sometimes it can be really difficult to appreciate. Even a devotee himself may not be able to appreciate. I remember once, we were planning to have this food for life in Nigdi, and I said, why can't we have it? And everybody was like, are you crazy? From where are you going to have all the resources, the funds, the manpower, the logistics to do this? And somehow, probably because of my naivety, I didn't realize what it all meant. So, we can go ahead for it, And as the standing operating procedure is gone, it was like, okay, so then you do it. And I said, okay, I didn't know what I'm getting into. And I said, yeah, okay. And the interesting part was I just went to this mayor's office and, asked, this is what we would like to do and, distribute food for the needy and... And she was like looking at me and, what useless talk are you doing? If you want to do it. Why do you need my permission? And I said, I just, thought of putting it towards your ear. Said, okay, if you have such an idea, just go and meet the education minister. And when I went to the education minister, he looked at me and said, that's crazy, why you want to do it yourself? We'll give you the donations for doing it. We already have a quota, the midday meal scheme had just started that time. I was not aware of it, honestly. So, and I didn't realize, why he's saying this to me at that time. It was later that I realized, because he had some equations to settle with the mayor. The mayor never told me this, And the education minister actually gave this idea. I said, well, I don't mind, getting these donations. So, good if you can. He said, yeah, do it, please. And I went and, I said, okay, they have agreed to it. And they said, okay, why? So how many people? I said, well, you suggest, whatever you think. He said, first you go and have a talk with him and then let's see what figure we can settle for. So when I went to this education minister, he was like, so I think 10,000 students will be a good figure. And I had no clue actually. I said, okay, well, if that's what you think, fine. So I went back, to the management and said, okay, he's saying 10,000. And they were like gasping at me. He said, do you know what 10,000 means? So, well, that's what he says. No way, just settle for maybe just, what's the minimum figure you think, He said 4,000. I said, okay, fine. So, by the time I reached there, this guy, already, and I later realized what happened because, anyhow, I don't want to get into details. So,
He came and he said, well, you know, I suggested 10,000 last time, but I think you should go for 4,000. Without my saying anything. And I was like, oh, thank you very much. You know, so when I went back to the management, they had changed their mind. And they said, I think, well, if he's suggesting 10,000, let's go for 10,000. I said, oh, no. And this happened quite a number of times, you know. And I was like, they would say a figure and I would go and he would say a figure. And I was like, oh, no. What mess I've gotten myself into. So with this all anxiety, I was just walking out of the office. And, you know, one person looked at me and said, you know, you look so blissful. And I didn't even give a thought to it. I said, this is not the right time to say all that, you know, because I'm in so much anxiety. And I went down 5 minutes down the line, you know, I met one more person. He says, I don't understand, you know, what do you all do? Your face is always so blissful. And I was like, come on. This is the last thing that I'm feeling in my heart, you know. The only thing is the anxiety of how I'm supposed to do this service. But then I was able to appreciate it's not me. It's just the process of devotional service, you know. You put your anxiety in how you're supposed to serve Krishna and wonderful things happen. And that's what actually, you know, this verse is trying to highlight. And many more things. And Uddhava is actually going to conclude these verses. And the last verse, the next verse, and whoever the speaker is, will be taking this. But this Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur says is the verse that all devotees should actually keep in their hearts. This is the essence of the verses. And I'll just end, you know, by quoting this verse. It says, this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can, in this very life, make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me, the eternal reality. So in one sense, this body itself is useless. It is temporary. But using this useless body, these useless activities, one can achieve the eternal. His emotions for the Supreme Absolute Truth. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhagavata Mahapurana ki jai.